I'm Mark Bayshore. The experiences of transgender people are probably more visible than they've ever been in America. Television and movies alike have featured an increasing number of transgender characters and transgender actors. From Caitlyn Jenner's Vanity Fair cover to MSNBC host Janet Mock, transgender people are sharing their stories with the world. But while the transgender community is more visible, many still face the threat of discrimination and violence on a daily basis. 2015 marked the highest number of fatal violent attacks against transgender people in America compared to any year recorded. Many of those attacks were against transgender women of color. Here to talk to us about what is and isn't changing for transgender people in America is Detroit native and executive director of the Trans Women of Color Collective, Lourdes Ashley Hunter. Lourdes, welcome to Current State.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
2015 was a year where the stories of transgender people were much more visible than they've probably ever been. What kind of difference do you think having more transgender people in the public eye is making in the everyday lives of transgender people?
Well, I think that, of course, visibility is a great thing. The more visible trans folk are, particularly in everyday life, in homes, in libraries, in stores, we begin to see a shift in how mainstream society begins to view trans people because they begin to experience them one-on-one. But what we also see is that an increase in visibility can also have an impact placing trans people as targets for violence.
What risk for violence do transgender people face compared to the rest of the population?
Well, I think we face the same risk of violence. I think that the violence disproportionately impacts our community. But in particularly, trans people are policed for how they present their gender. They're policed on how they show up every day. And most people receive the same type of policing, but it's heightened for trans people because we live in a heteronormous society, which says that we must show up a certain way to be received, to be accepted, to be affirmed in our truth. Many trans folk reject the gender binary, thus challenging the status quo. And so that also places us at heightened levels of discrimination and violence. Even in this country, we see there are 34 states that actively discriminate against trans people when accessing health care, housing, employment, educational opportunities. Just this year, there are 44 anti-transgender bills that are filed in 16 states so far. And several of these particular bills pose threats to children, and 23 of them actually target trans children. And so we see more violence that is happening legislatively, which also impacts our ability to access jobs, housing, healthcare, employment opportunities, which thus puts us at a greater risk for physical violence, maybe on the streets when we're accessing services. So we see this cycle of violence that is happening in our community.
How exactly do these measures that you've talked about, how do they, for example, target trans children? How do they do that?
For instance, there are particular legislation that would deny trans children access to restrooms, access to particular locker rooms. And so this places them at a target for more violence.
I will point out that just in recent days, the South Dakota State Senate passed a bill requiring transgender students to use locker rooms and toilets that correspond to the sex they were assigned at birth. In other words, if the bill becomes law, trans girls will be forced to use the boys' bathroom and trans boys the girls'. This is the kind of measure you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what we have seen in many cases, and particularly in schools, middle schools, high schools, even elementary schools, that trans children experience bullying in these locker rooms. They experience rape in these locker rooms. And so now these particular laws are forcing trans children to experience that particular type of violence.
Lourdes Ashley Hunter is the executive director of the Trans Women of Color Collective. We are talking about the fight for transgender rights in America. Three of the murders from 2015 took place in the city you grew up in, Detroit. How does that feel to hear that these murders are happening in the city and you grew up in?
It impacts me deeply. For me, it's not surprising. I'm someone who transitioned in Detroit in 1993. And these particular murders were happening then. I think now with access to media and the internet, they are receiving attention. But these particular murders are indicative to the violence that trans Detroiters face and have faced for many years.
Can you tell us a little more about your own story? What was it like to be a transgender girl in Detroit, growing up in Detroit?
Well, growing up in Detroit, one of the things that I remember the most is just the strong connection with community and with family. I was born at Hospital. I grew up on the East Side, Mack and East Lawn. You know, I went to local schools, local public schools, and I remember the close connection that I had with family, with community. My mom worked at Chrysler, and so we were strong members of the UAW. And so for me, I remember that community. That community kept me safe for many, many years, despite the violence that happened on the East Side, despite the mass exodus of the Auto 3 industry, you know, from Detroit, depleting many of the resources. I still remember that community feel, and it still connects me. Detroit is my home and will always be.
Transgender people can also face discrimination in their daily lives on top of the threat of violence. Here in Michigan, whether or not to include gender identity in amendments to the state civil rights legislation has become a point of contention. Are there legal protections that transgender individuals have when it comes to employment or housing?
In Michigan, no.
Poverty is also a big issue for the transgender community. In the United States, the unemployment rate for transgender persons is double that of the general population. Some estimates say it's around 1 in 5 trans people has been homeless at some point. What's behind these higher rates? What's going on?
As I mentioned before, the state-sanctioned violence that we face is inextricably linked to many types of forms of violence. Being denied access to an education also impacts your ability to get a job, to have employment, to have health insurance, to be able to purchase a home. And so when these particular things are challenged, your socioeconomic growth and development is stumped, therefore placing you at greater risk for violence and discrimination. When you have laws that say, I can discriminate against you when accessing a job, then that also puts you at a greater risk for being impoverished. Right now in Michigan, I can go into a restaurant and be refused service simply because I'm transgender. I can be refused the purchase of a home. I can be refused access to employment opportunities regardless of my educational background. And so these particular laws work strategically to impede the socioeconomic growth and development of our community.
What the mission of the Trans Women of Color Collective is to lift up the stories of trans women of color. What stories do you think are missing from the conversation right now about trans experiences in the media? What do people need to hear more of, in your view?
I think people need to hear more of stories that they can glean from, stories that they can relate to. Trans people are more than actors. We're more than models. We're more than these caricatures. We're more than these horrible people that the media depicts us to be. You know, we're people who live everyday lives, who wake up every day in a world designed to erase us from the face of the earth. Yet we go to school, we go to work, we take care of our families, you know, we provide for our children. And this is what's important. And these are the stories that really need to be elevated. The stories that of trans women of color being held in detention centers without proper trial, without proper representation, without access to health care. Stories about trans people being held in prison and incarceration without access to proper care, being held in men's facilities. We need to hear those stories more. We need to hear stories where people can relate. And then we can begin to shift the narrative of violence in our community.
We've been talking to Detroit native and transgender activist Lourdes Ashley Hunter. Lourdes is the executive director of the Trans Women of Color Collective based in Washington, D.C., and she will be speaking on the Michigan State campus this Wednesday, February 24th at the Arca Theater at 7 o'clock. Lourdes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.